Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, it's time for Point Taken. Here are your hosts, Steve Scafidi and Chris.
And welcome to Point Taken. Kristen is off this week. She's probably glad she's off today. You know, when you have time to ruminate about things, I think that's the right word, while you're sitting there staring at a sump pump crock at 3 a.m. in the morning because your power's out, you think a lot of things. You have a lot of thoughts. For me, I work through my show routine. This just struck me. Is every rain or wind event now an extinction level occurrence? Is that where we're at now? Closings in the winter. We have traffic implications, power outages. And that's what came to Oak Creek. I just wanted to get home yesterday. I get a text from my wife, Kathy, who's at home right now, still without power, by the way. We're going to hit almost 24 hours because a tree fell on a line. I'll get to that story in a second. 24 hours without power. Now, you may ask, well, there was a lot of rain. Why is your, because our sump pump's always run. I have two of them because we're in a former marsh that became a neighborhood. It's wet. And if I don't bail them out, we'll have flooding in our basement. Having gone through that many, many years ago, not going to deal with it. So that's my reality on this Tuesday. I got thoughts. My next segment, I talk about communication, poor communication. But because I want to give a shout out for two groups, actually one person, one group. So all the men and women who are climbing up trees and lines and poles and restoring power, well done. Appreciate you. Thank you. To Devin, who is a customer service rep at least the Facebook side of We Energies, one-man show, answering as many questions in that We Energies way where you don't really answer the question, but you're responsive. Devin, much love. Love you. I'd like to meet you someday because you had the patience of a saint, even though you weren't really answering any questions because you didn't have any information. Job well done. So put the text aside that you're already, how dare you criticize We Energies. Which brings me to this event. On my way home yesterday, power's out at the major intersections in Oak Creek because of the trees falling on lines. I found that out later. One would have thought I was at the demolition derby, which is not surprising, I guess, as much as I complain about how people drive. Literally, no one knows how to respect the right-of-way. Everyone's just weaving in through this massive intersection. Rawson, I think Drexel was messed up. Just, I'm going. Three cars would go, not one car and wait your turn. Three cars or six cars would go from the left turn lane. Chaos in Oak Creek because a tree fell in the line. Probably multiple trees. So, as the day goes on, they'll fix it. They'll get the tree. They'll repair the line. It's what they do for a living. 3 o'clock. Well, we got an update. 6 p.m. should be good. Okay. Not really sweating it. Freezer's good. Not worried about the basement yet. Then it's 8:30. And then something happened at 8:30-ish where that 8:30 p.m. became 8:30 a.m. Two people. And We Energies, if you're listening to this awesome show right now, you text me if I'm wrong. 855-616-1620. I'm not giving you a PR phone conversation. Not going to do it. Not in the mood. But text me if I'm wrong. Two different people that I trust and know said, crews disappeared about 8:30. Gone. Is there a connection between the fact that time stamp for the restoring of power, went from 8:30 p.m. to 8:30 a.m. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. If it is true, shame on you. Because this event happened at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It wasn't like an all-day event. It was 1 o'clock. The power's not getting fixed unless you fix it. We can't do it. I almost lost my life years ago when my shed burned to the ground because the power line hit it, sparked the fire, burned it to the ground. We watched, firefighters and I, as it burned to the ground because We Energy hadn't shown up to disable the line. Can't put water on it. Nope. Watch my shed burn to the ground. Here's what irks me about this before I go to break. And I'm going to talk about communication next. We Energies. And where, by the way, where are those power plants? It's in Oak Creek, right? Last time I checked. Big supporter. Advocate for the company. Am I missing something here? How have we gotten worse at the customer service part of the job? Not everybody. Some of you. How have you gotten worse on this? Everything is an extinction level event now. Every rainstorm, every thunderstorm. I had to watch my phone while I'm playing blackjack in Vegas because we had 3 days of rain. They're already calling yesterday a hurricane. It wasn't a hurricane. Yes, we had wind gusts. One more point, and then I'm going to get to communication after the break. If you tell me to go to your websites and report a line down, you better sure as hell do something about that report, both from us and our neighbor, line, tree down on a line, multiple lines actually. You better do something about that the same day, not the next day, 8:30 a.m. this morning. It tells me, why am I doing this? It says to me, why would I waste my time? Wrong information, wrong number of outages in my neighborhood, which showed at some point, I know the total was pretty accurate, but the number in my neighborhood, they had like one for a while, four. Half the neighborhood was without power and still is. Get your together, We Energies. All this AI conversation, power in the future, keep the lights on. My power is going to be off for 24 hours, basically, because a tree fell on a line. And I'll go back to what I said before. If I'm wrong on those crews, and a lot of people told me the city was quiet last night. I was out at 3 a.m. getting a cup of coffee at Speedway. Quiet. No work being done in my neighborhood. If I'm wrong, text me and tell me I'm wrong and give me the facts. After the break, communication is a part of this. Not just the technology, not the fixing stuff. Communication, including my favorite city, did not do well yesterday. Quick break.
Yes, it's quite insane. I think it hurts.
Latest update from We Energies is power restored at noon. We want to bet on that. And they did show up at my neighbor's house where we both reported the line lying down because of the trees at 8:30 this morning. Not yesterday, 8:30. Communication is a big part of my life. Obviously, I talk for a living. A couple things on that. One, We Energies, you're the only game in town. You should be better at it. I'm not asking for perfection, but yesterday was slapdash, confusing. Here's the other thing that bothers me about what you do. I was monitoring your social media. I understand that we want to give thanks to the people who are the hard work that men and women on the lines and taking trees down, all that stuff are doing. I'm not saying anything different. That's not the lead. Why is this happening? Trees down. Where are the trees down? Give me some information. You had like three posts on Twitter in the whole day. Step it up. Step up your game. You're the only game in town. You should be better at it. And if you ask me to report something, respond to that report. I don't know if it's a live wire. I'm not walking back there. You told me to stay 25 feet away. I read the website about 10 times because I was on it so much. Oh, and oh, by the way, Kathy called your emergency number just to see if that would expedite things. I'm not going to try to pretend to be the We Energies voice, but 18-minute wait, which turned into 60 minutes, was turned into 131 minutes. At one point, it was a game. Let's see how long. And you know what, We Energies? After 131 minutes, still no one answered, other than recording. You're the only game in town. You should be better at it. This last one's for the city of Oak Creek. I actually sent a letter to the mayor of Oak Creek, Dan Bacavich, this morning. I didn't help build, the social media platforms in that city so that I could not be informed about what's happening on the streets of Oak Creek in a weather crisis. Let's call it that. Weather event. Not a mention for the 14,000 users on your city of Oak Creek Facebook page. Not a mention, and I love the police, but on the OCPD, which has 25,000. That's more than half the city, folks. Not a mention of what's screwing up our traffic, creating power outages, which then leads to basement backups and, for us, probably throwing out most of the things in our fridge, potentially freezer. Save the generator comments. I already have a contract with Generac that's been in works for a long time. Didn't help me tomorrow because I don't have it yet. And for those of you who are worried about a heart attack, I'm good. These things have to be said because what is this fear that we have of a monolith? All the power. Texter said, shareholders versus customers. Hard to disagree. And I asked We Energies to respond. Am I wrong on this? Are the residents that reported those crews left in the evening wrong? Or did they work through the night? If I'm wrong, you tell me I'm wrong. I'll read it. You can be right, but tell me I'm wrong. That's communication. And I reached out to We Energies to ask these questions, ignored in a text exchange last night. I'm not going to say who it was. Completely ignored me. It's not, again, you can do better. No, I'm not criticizing the men and women who do that job. Awesome work. For all the people that got their power restored, amazing. But if We Energies made the decision to walk off that job, whatever time it was in the evening, when that clock got reset from 8:30 p.m. to 8:30 a.m., that is wrong. If you're going to be the energy experts, keep the lights on, that is wrong. And I said it before, and I'll say it for the third time. If I'm wrong, you correct me on the text line, 855-616-1620. Be better. Just be better. Customers first, not shareholders. They're both important. Customers deserve respect. And if you have a process that you lay out clearly on your website, you sure as hell better follow it. Break.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Communication breakdown! Since I'm talking to We Energies directly through the mouthpiece of 620WTMJ, one final question. And it's a specific question. Somebody who knows the number of people who are assigned and work on their amazing crews, the folks who do the men and women who do amazing work for getting power restored. Do we have more or less of those great individuals than we did 10 years ago? I'm just curious. Because I know it's a bottom line business, right? Keep those shareholders happy. I'm not a shareholder of We Energies. I actually supported the company in public settings, public forums. We host the power plants there in Oak Creek, the power plant. Do you have more or less of those crews doing the heavy lifting on the streets, in our neighborhoods, in our backyards, on those lines, those poles, than you did 10 years ago? Just curious. And if the answer is less, I think you got some explaining to do, because all I hear about is these killer storms that we seem to be bombarded with almost weekly now. Whether it's winter, summer, spring, doesn't matter. Tornadoes. We did the tornado batch a couple weeks ago. I want real answers. And the reason I didn't want a spokesperson on, because I didn't want the PR BS. Sorry, that's what you get. I've heard the interviews. Appreciate your work. I don't need the PR BS. Answer the questions. They're pretty specific. Did your crew go home? The men and women who do that job, great work. Did they go home at 8:30? I'll say 10 years ago. Actually, not even. One of my shed fires, like 7-8 years ago. The gentleman who came to take the power off that down line, this was well into the evening, 11:30. When we reported that outage, that the trees down on a line next door, both our neighbor, good neighbors, and us both reported on your website. No reaction, no response until 8:30 a.m. this morning. So you had probably from 2, 10, 18 hours, right? 18 hours to respond. You're either good at your job or you're not. You're the only game in town. I'm not, Texas said, stop bashing. Look, I appreciate the power that we have because I've been to Texas. You say I have employees in Texas. That's a whole lot of suck. They got like 18 companies, brownouts. We don't have that. So credit We Energies for not giving us that kind of environment. And for those folks who moved to Texas, what the hell are you thinking about? Enjoy those 100-degree summer days, which seem to plague Texas every year, every summer into fall. All right, we're going to switch gears. I had to get that off my chest because I had lots of time staring at a sump croc, actually two of them last night, put that first half hour together. I'm actually very calm inside. I bet you if you check my heart rate now, it's like 72. It's low. It's low. I'm not that excited. But I wanted to make the point because I don't think it's said enough. Do the work. Do the work that you're supposed to do. You keep talking about keeping the lights on. I got 24 hours potentially with no lights, no power, no sump pumps operating, no freezer, no fridge. Set a good example, especially with the advent of AI. Should make you more efficient, not less. All right, we're switching gears. We're going to talk about donating organs to save lives. Big stuff from Frater at Medical College of Wisconsin. We have a doctor with us. It is a great story. We're going to celebrate that awesomeness. I think it's Donate Life Month. Certainly a 180 from what I was just talking about, but this is the good stuff. And as I said yesterday to Dr. Howard Fuller for my podcast, I like talking to smart people. We actually have two of them. Only one's going to be on the air. Coming up.
Give a little bit. Give a little bit of your love to me.
To the Texans, I'm very calm. And I'm excited about this half hour because it's I don't typically talk to doctors on the show. I've had Dr. Mary Beth Graham, who I love her work at Frater, talking about vaccines and all those things. Haven't had her on the show in a while, so we'll have to get around. But joining us in studio, Dr. Matthew Cooper, Frater, Medical College of Wisconsin. What's your, I can look it up, but tell me your title.
Yeah, thanks. So I am the chief of the Division of the Abdominal Transplantation and the director for solid organ services at both Frater and Children's Wisconsin here on campus.
Yeah, I mean, I said before the break, I like talking to smart people, and you don't get to have that title without being smart. So it's Donate Life Month.
That's correct.
So this connection, I'm an organ donor. I mean, I'm signed up to be one. And I think everyone should sign up, at least on your driver's license, but take it the next step. I've interviewed for the podcast. I've had people who have helped other people by donating an organ. Often they don't even know who they are. In the case of the podcast, I think they were next door neighbors or something. It was an incredible story. So Donate Life Month, what does that speak to? What do people need to know about it?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking the question. So I first start by saying I'm really thrilled to be here. I love my job, but the fact of the matter is in order to do transplantation, we have to recognize that every transplant starts with a donor. And so we celebrate the month of April as Donate Life Month. We really, and I hope most people would, celebrate organ donors the entirety of the year. But during the month of April, we try and express not only our gratitude to those that have given the gift of life, either through deceased or living organ donation, but also, as you stated, remind people that we all have the opportunity to be heroes, like I said, either now as a living organ donor or at the time of their death to sign up to be deceased donor organ.
How are we doing as a state? I saw the number stood out, 1,506 Wisconsin residents currently waiting for an organ.
That's right. So I think we're very fortunate. I'm blessed to have trained in the state of Wisconsin many, many years ago under Governor Tommy Thompson, who was actually a big, big proponent of organ donation mm-hmm. and transplant. And so in the state, we have about 60% of our population is registered to be deceased donors. But we still have an incredible need. As you mentioned, we have about 1,500 Wisconsinites that are waiting for organs, and that's just the ones who have gotten to us. We still have the expectation that we need to be more in the community and make people appreciate the fact that organ transplant is an opportunity for them as well.
I was talking about communication the first half hour, and like that, different subject, but communication is a big part of this. So that's part of this outreach is how can we make people understand that you might be sitting in Crandon, Wisconsin, or Neenah, Wisconsin, or Green Bay, and you could be somebody's success story. Mm-hmm. How do you make that connection so people understand that could be you?
Yeah.
Helping someone else out.
Yeah, again, folks just don't think about, and why would you think about your death at a time, you know, when it's not certainly front of mind? And so we tell people, particularly around this month, to appreciate the fact that you never know what the future is going to hold. We every day is a blessing. But if at the time that you are in sort of a situation where you could be an organ donor, you have the ability to save at least 8 people's lives through solid organ donation and over hundreds of others through tissue and corneal donation as well. And so, again, we tell people, you know, give yourself that opportunity to be the organ donor. People no longer spend as much time in a DMV when it was a regular reminder.
Yeah.
And so now we have to be more active.
I didn't think about that.
We have to be more active and tell people it's easy to sign up online, either through the Wisconsin State Registry or through the Donate Life America National Registry, but you have to make an active process to do that.
You live in this world. Is there sort of a built-in hesitancy that some people, like, and what is that barrier that would prevent someone from saying, you know, I should just do this?
Yeah, it's interesting. If you ask people, do they support organ donation? Well over 95% of Americans say they support organ donation, but throughout the U.S., it's only about 60 to 63% of Americans are signed up to be organ donors. And I think a lot of that is, some of it is, you know, people just don't know how to do it. One, as we just talked about. The other is there is a real fear that people who have the yes on their, or the green heart on their organ, on their license, excuse me, that if they have that they won't receive optimum care should they be brought to a hospital in an emergency situation, that people would unfortunately look at that as...
But that fear is not warranted. They're going to get great care. It's
absolutely.
They just feel that.
It's,
so how
it's
do we get over that?
Completely separate group. You know, if someone comes into a hospital, our objective is to take care of that individual. And the providers taking care of people then decide if it's a futile effort or if people unfortunately reach the stage of brain death, they then contact the organ procurement organization and that process moves forward. They're completely separate, but still that fear exists and we have the expectation to be active in educating people that in fact is not a realism.
Specific organs, is kidney the biggest need?
It is. You know, of the 100,000 people, about 87,000, 88,000 folks are waiting for kidneys. So that is, you know, where we spend a lot of our time, not only because the ability for deceased donation, but that's one of the biggest opportunities for living donation as well.
Just a curiosity, why kidneys? Why is that the organ that...
Yeah, so kidney, the common causes for end-stage renal disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, which, you know, are very...
That answers the question, right?
In our population. Yeah. And so, you know, we just see that unfortunate untreated of those conditions, you know, often leads to people requiring dialysis.
Now, the interesting part of that is 19% of that need for kidney are blacks.
Black. It is. It's correct.
Why is that?
It's probably even greater than that. 19% of the people that are listed for transplant.
Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest issues is if you look at the incident dialysis population, it is predominantly African Americans, but yet we haven't gotten them the information that gets them access and then listed for transplant. So that's the big piece as well, is we have to get that list more proportioned to the folks that have the need. So we, I think, have a real opportunity as well to be able to get to the African American community, get them off the dialysis machines even before they approach that, to appreciate that transplant is a better option for
and
them.
After the break, we'll get some interesting ways that's happening, including arts, which I didn't make that connection until our friend sitting to our left brought it to my attention. We'll take a break. Dr. Matthew Cooper from Frater Children's Medical College, was the whole thing, the whole umbrella. Smart guy. Of course, point taken. 620 TMJ, quick break. Dr. Matthew Cooper is my guest this half hour. Donate Life is the month. Organ donation, big topic, an important topic. We were just chatting during the break. So one's blood type has to match, but race doesn't have, none of the other things matter, right?
Yeah, it's a common misperception that we have to, you'll find our identical twin out there somewhere to be a potential organ donor for us. And the truth of the matter is, you know, there's very few things. In fact, I try and stay away from the word match because of the misperception that people have to find that needle in a haystack. And so, short of blood type compatibility and what we call a negative cross match, really anybody could be another's hero through organ donation, regardless of race, creed, color, all those things.
It's not just donating your organs after you die. I mean, there's live donors that donate kidneys, right?
That's right. I mean, right now, about 30% of kidney transplants are through living organ kidney donation. And so that's a big opportunity because it's one of the things that we can actively work with potential recipients to get them off the list faster than for a deceased donor transplant.
So I mentioned it in the tease before the break that art is a part of the story. So we're trying to close that gap for African-Americans, Black Americans, when it comes to organ donors. You're hosting, Frater's hosting the Lifeline Ultimate Bond. It's art exhibit on this organ procurement, not easy to say, organization, Versity, who I'm sort of familiar with. That's running right now at Frater's?
That's correct.
Okay, so, what's the details?
Yeah, so we partner with Versity, our organ procurement organization here in southeastern Wisconsin. You know, that's the group that interfaces with donor families and transplant centers. As we talked about before, a very important position they hold. What they have done is a recognition that storytelling, as we talked about in the break as well, is perhaps the most impactful thing that brings people to understand the need and the vision behind organ donation.
You can feel it. If you're in the audience, you can feel it. Yeah. When you watch it online, you can feel that connection to you personally because they're telling their story.
Yeah. And so the purpose of this art exhibit is to ensure that this isn't numbers and statistics, that these are real people. And so the art exhibit has real folks that have either donated a loved one's organs, a recipient who's received the gift of life, and they tell their story. And I think anybody who reads that thinks, to her point earlier, I could do that, or I understand now why I want to consider to be an organ donor or appreciate the value of organ transplantation.
As I was reading the notes, show notes, Frater Medical College of Wisconsin ranked number one for adult liver and kidney patient outcomes. Not surprising. I know the doctors that worked. I know a lot of them work on the Rare Storytellers event every year on rare cancers. Just brilliant work being done by great, smart people. That's got to make you so happy. I mean, I can gather that you love your job.
I tell people that all the time. I hope they don't think it's a tagline. I have the best job in the world, and I work with some of the most talented physicians, clinicians, support people, you know, across the U.S. We're really, really thrilled with the work that we have accomplished and the outcomes being, as they always say, our North Star. People come not just because they want to be listed for transplant, but because they want to receive it and they want to enjoy the benefits of transplant. So
I was reading a list, 311 total organ transplants, 188 kidney, 64 liver, 23 heart. You're like the benchmark for doing it the right way and the best way.
Well, we like to think so. We want people, patients, families. Transplant is very different at different hospitals. And so we want people to actively choose to come here to Milwaukee, perhaps even traveling up 94 from the Chicagoland area, because it's going to be a very different experience. And so we want people to see that we place emphasis on customer service. We place emphasis on assuring that people feel important, and we certainly place emphasis on how we're doing in terms of outcomes.
Before we go to break, take your doctor hat off. Knowing what you know, obviously based on your doctor experience, but as a human being, providing care, important care to individuals who need that, in this case transplants, what's your message? What's your personal message?
So I recognize no one wants to come see a doctor, right? And so we have...
I actually look forward to my annual physical. I had the same doc for Bill Steinman, 45 years. We were the same age. He's retired. I'm still working. How is that possible?
I don't know about that one. But what I certainly appreciate is that we have the privilege of interfacing with patients and families at a time that it's the most challenging part of their life, right? They are faced with the potential appreciation that end organ failure will end their life, right? And so, you know, we have to recognize that gift that we're given and make sure that we are creating that relationship, giving them the confidence, and again, assuring them that we have an option, you know, better than end organ failure, and assuring that people leave with the confidence that I'm glad I came to Frater at the Medical College of Wisconsin. I could have gone other places, but I chose here. I met the people. I can connect with them, and I feel confident this is the place to be.
Not surprising. It's they do great work out there. All right, Dr. Matthew Cooper, stick around for one quick segment. We'll throw some fun stuff at you.
Love it.
And stress that it's Donate Life Month, that we should all be thinking about these things, however that shakes out. And if I guarantee you, if you hear a story, a personal story about someone who's been part of this, donor, live donor, or recipient, changes your perspective completely. You will want to be part of that. Quick break. Dr. Matthew Cooper joining us. Tell your folks your title again. I don't have my notes in front of me.
Chief of Transplants for the Medical College of Wisconsin and the Director for Solid Organ Services. So we do heart, lung, liver, kidney, and pancreas transplant on the campus in Milwaukee.
And you have a transplant today?
I do. Later today, we have a kidney transplant happening. Kidney coming from Florida for a woman who's just, you know, real excited to be able to get off of dialysis.
All right. Before we get to the fun stuff, make your pitch, because I want people to take the takeaway. What's the takeaway here?
Anybody has the ability to be a hero through organ donation. And now, through organ donation, we can save up to 8 lives and hundreds of people through tissue donation. Very simple. Online, either through the Wisconsin State Registry or through the Donate Life America Registry, sign up and tell your family you're interested in being an organ donor, or step onto our website, straight at the Medical College of Wisconsin, and give you lots of information about becoming a living organ donor. Nothing to lose, a ton to gain, just by getting information and making the consideration.
And if you can find a story that you can watch or listen to, I recommend it. It'll change your perspective. All right, fun one. When you're a little kid, 10 years old, do you know you're going to be a doctor? or what did you want to be at 10?
What did I want to be at 10? I think at one point my mother said I wanted to be a cake decorator. I don't know where that ever came from, but that's way different. Yeah, that seems so different. But I think we said earlier, I was inspired by my own family doctor who, as an only child, I had way too much time to think about things, but I just love the idea of helping another person. And then my father's message was, he said, I'll love you regardless of what you do, but if you can make someone's life better, you'll never think you worked a day in your life.
That's good messaging. Nice. Pleasure to meet you, Dr. Matthew Cooper. Great work and success this afternoon.
Thank you very much. I know really an honor to be here.
I know you'd be totally focused, even though radio's a big deal. All right, we got news is next. Then another set of guests. We're guest heavy today, but good guests, smart people. We'll continue the conversation after the news, which is next.
Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, it's time for Point Taken. Here are your hosts, Steve Scafidi and Kristen Braun.
Kristen is off this week. She's on assignments. She was on vacation over the weekend in Nashville. She loved it. Almost had too much fun. All right, I don't always have partners in, but this half hour I've got Rose Gray coming up in a little bit. And my newest partners from Walney Legal Group, and I love the story. Kelly Dancy, to my left. You know, Walney, partners, tell me about your company, and first of all, welcome.
Thank you.
Who wants to go first?
So Walney Legal Group is a boutique estate planning shop. In 2 weeks, we'll be celebrating our 15th anniversary, so we're super excited about that. I've been practicing for 25 years, so quarter century. Thank you.
Yeah. Kelly, you look young.
Kelly helps keep me young. But all we do is estate planning, estate administration, elder law, and so it's been a lot of fun helping people, and we love what we do.
That hook, estate planning, is when we first met, and we've met a couple times now, once in your office, once over here in the 3rd Street Market Hall. It's so important, but as we talked about, people forget about it, they don't update. Kelly, I mean, this is the big problem. They're not paying attention to that stuff, and they should. Why?
Yes. I mean, it's not something that everyone loves to do. We understand people don't want to come in and talk to us about their mortality, but it's something that's really important. I feel like it's a gift that you can give your family. If you don't engage in estate planning, likely it's going to be a mess when you pass away. You could have to go through the probate process, which is long and messy, and a lot of information can be disclosed. And so through proper planning, you can really protect your family.
Let's talk about that, because that's a common talking point. It's just messy. What does that mean exactly? So people understand why it's important to talk to you before that.
So when you pass away, if you don't have any estate planning documents, the state, in our case, the state of Wisconsin, gives you a default estate plan. It's called the laws of intestacy. And the problem with that is that it's one size fits all. So if you want anything that's a deviation from the default state statute, you're going to have a mess. And more importantly, you know, the state doesn't get involved with tax management. The state doesn't get involved with where your stuff goes or particular things. It just wants to sort of get you to the next generation. And so it's not going to be what you want. It's just going to be a thing.
It's a legal process. It's long. It's messy. There's uncertainty. I think that's the word that I hear a lot.
Uncertain and messy, I think, is really, really good way to put it.
It can also be a forum for disputes. So anytime that someone passes away and doesn't leave behind their wishes, you open the door for family, creditors, anyone really to come in and contest and make claims against the estate. And with proper planning, we can mitigate a lot of that.
So one of the things I was impressed with, one, your personality, and two, your wisdom about lawyering. And I love this motto, lawyering the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
That was my takeaway from our first meeting, and certainly my second when we met in your office right down the street here in Wisconsin. It is something that makes you unique. I would say your customer service slash communication skills are as good as it gets. You've worked with a lot of people. You were sharing stories with me about some of the experiences people were having. Real life stuff that you don't even think about. Share one of them.
I mean, lawyers have a bad reputation for a reason, and we try really hard to not fall into that reputation.
Yeah.
And part of that is communication. Part of that is personality. We've had a lot of people tell us when they come to the office, it doesn't feel like a lawyer's office. It's much more inviting. It's much more disarming. As you know, Steve, there's no clocks in our conference rooms because we don't generally charge by the hour, and that's pretty unique for lawyers.
You use the term niche, and that's right. You're sort of a different type of legal group that actually really, really pays attention in the stories that you were telling me when we were at your office and when we were sitting out here. It's very unique, and I've worked with a lot of partners. It's the attention to detail, the expertise, you're both very credentialed, you've won awards, all that stuff, you've been working together for a long time. That's pretty special stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we take our job really seriously. We understand our clients put a lot of trust in us when they come to see us, and it's really important that they understand their documents. And so we feel like by empowering them, answering their questions, not having a clock where they feel like they're rushed, that experience is better, then they can fully understand what they're doing. And we love what we do. We think this is a really important area for people to focus on. And so that extra attention that we can give them gives them a good experience. They can share that with their friends and hopefully spread the word about how important it can be.
And another word I would throw in, having met you now a number of occasions, passionate about what you do.
That
you can recognize it. And I've met a lot of people. I've interviewed a lot of people. It stands out with Walney Legal Group. All right, we'll take another break here. Sort of a fun way to sort of take the conversation in a different direction. You have things that are valuable, or in some cases not valuable. That has to be part of the story as well. Walney Legal Group, after this. My guest, Walney Legal Group. Spoke too fast there. Ida Walney, Kelly Dancy, great lawyers, great company, great partners in this negotiation about all things with your estate plan and special needs. You have a niche, and this is why I want to get to it. Your son was involved in an accident, so let's highlight some of that stuff for us.
Yeah, last summer, my wife and I were taking our first vacation without the kids in 20 years. So we'd gotten to the point where we thought our kids were old enough to be by themselves for a while. We had a great trip planned to Tennessee and Kentucky. And about 3 days in, got a call that my son was in a really bad accident. And we, of course, hightailed it back to Wisconsin as fast as we possibly could. I won't tell you how fast we were going, but we were going very fast. Got to the hospital, and it was very bad. I mean, literally a near-death situation. And thankfully, was 19 at the time. For his 18th birthday, one of the things we did was get him basic documents, powers of attorney, HIPAA documents, thinking better to have it, hope we never need it. But here we are a year in, and he needed it. He had a head injury, needed medical care, but because he was an adult, had legal rights, the hospital was talking to us about getting guardianship and all these things. He was about to go to college, and college was telling us all the issues that they were having. Giving them those powers of attorney cleared up all those issues in literally minutes instead of days or weeks or months. And so, unfortunately, it's one of those things where I can tell you, practically speaking, the benefit that these documents have. I wish I wasn't able to share that story. And thankfully, he's doing a lot better today. But those documents made a tangible difference in our family's lives.
Yeah, I mean, do it before you need it. And in this case, you did need it, and it was there for you. All right, so we only got a couple of minutes, but there's a lot of fun stuff that you and I, we both all talked about when we were together. And I don't really think about it, but, you know, one of my teammates shared a story about something in their family. It's one thing to say it goes to, but you got to be really specific about this when it comes to estate planning and what happens after you pass. Highlight some quick stories about that, because there's, you know, we're both collectors, Ido and I, we're both memorabilia collectors. So I got a lot of stuff. You got a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so where we see a lot of conflicts is tangible personal property. So your stuff, memorabilia, paintings, all of the stuff that you think isn't really worth much to anyone can become really important from a sentimental perspective.
Or the opposite, if it's, you think it's worth a lot, it's not.
Yes, that's true, right? So some people think that they do have a large collection that everyone will want, but also vice versa, where they don't think anyone will fight over it, and we see people fight over it all the time. Especially with personal property, there is only one item of that, right? So grandma's favorite china, there's one plate. We have a really good story from a client related to a painting that can't be divided. And so, you know, the family fought for years over that. And it was something that if someone had planned ahead, we'd be able to manage that. But instead, it really caused some relationships to break down within the family.
That's the biggest thing, right? People, it can destroy a family after.
I mean, the issue is if you're going to get money, right, whether you're going to get five $20 bills or one $100 bill, most people don't care. What they fight over is the kind of stuff that wouldn't elicit a one penny bid on eBay because it's got unlimited sentimental value. And so it's the tchotchke that grandpa carved or the picture hanging over grandma's bed. That stuff wouldn't get any bids on eBay, but the families will go to the mat to try to get it. And that's what planning will help avoid, because you can get it worked out when you're alive.
All right. Before you get out of here, how can they find you both, Kelly, Ito? How can they find you?
So you can go to our website, which is walneylegal.com. Our contact information is on there. We're on LinkedIn. Feel free to reach out. We are happy to help with planning so you can avoid some of these messy situations.
And the reason they're both here, because they're good at what they do. And I know Rose is coming next. That's a partner as well. But I don't bring all the partners on. You guys impressed me so much. I wanted to have you on the show. You
Thank
a quick
you,
thought.
I was just going to say, with a name like Ito, my mom made my childhood very difficult. But as a professional, you don't even have to spell it right in Google and you'll find me.
They're both amazing people. I had a lot of fun talking. And I'll stop down at the office sometime this summer. We'll have some fun. Maybe go to lunch.
That sounds awesome.
All right, quick break. After the break, Foxwood Travel, Rose Gray. Hello, another partner next. Partner Day on WTMJ's Point 10. I love it because I love these people because they work with me and they'll work with you. And I just spent time with this. Can I say it? Chick.
You can say it. I take no offense to that.
Rose Grace. She's going to stick around for a couple of segments. I'm going to be joined by Calista Morgan from City Forward Collective for the last two segments of the show. Busy guest today. So Saturday, we talked about a lot of things.
We did.
We talked about our teammate, my teammate. You're our teammate.
Our teammate.
Julia Fellow. Yep. Her awesome trip to England.
Yes.
Let's highlight that a little
and
bit.
And I will be going along. So I want to point that out to everybody. I
mean, Rose too.
I'm trying to bolster the sign-ups a little bit by saying you want to travel with Rose Gray.
What's the best thing about traveling with Rose Gray? In 50 words or less.
I take care of everything.
You do?
I take care of everything. And sometimes there's stuff going on. This is way more than 50 words. Sometimes there's stuff going on behind the scenes and you don't even know about it.
I will say this. Having been on, I don't know, five or six trips, attention to detail. I just mentioned this with my Walney Legal Group friend. Attention to detail is like the best. I don't care what it is. And if something's not right, you fix it right away. And that's the Foxwood Travel thing.
Because we're a privately owned company. We have no shareholders to take into
account.
Oh,
you heard my opener, didn't you?
I did. I feel you look pretty good for not having showered.
Yeah, I don't feel good, though.
Oh.
I'm getting weary, but I'm keeping the passion and the energy, I think.
That's, yeah, you are. You are. And you have every right to be upset because that is what we are all about at Fox World Travel. If something goes amiss, something goes awry, we want to talk to you about it and we want to fix it.
Yeah, exactly.
If we can't fix it, we're going to tell you we can't fix it.
I'm going to go high level with you because you're smart.
All right.
And good at what you do. Why should we travel?
Well, not everybody should. Believe it or not, Steve, we have
I got to hear the answer to this question.
Well, we have a segment in our L&D program when we hire, we've got five
leadership and development,
learning and development.
Okay.
We have five new associates starting at Fox World Travel next Monday, because what we've started doing now is hiring them based on their sales ability, and then we teach them travel. Mm. Because what are we doing? We're selling a commodity. We're selling travel. And when you're selling travel, you're messing with people's memories and you're messing with people's emotions and you're messing with people who...
There's a lot going on.
A lot going on. But what I was going to say is in that program, there is a segment, and I'm often part of this, where we talk to people about, you know what? After talking to you for 30 minutes, you might not be the ideal candidate to travel.
Somebody wanted me to ask you this on Saturday. I forgot. When you walk around or talk, people got to be, Who is that person? Because they know you.
They do. So I'm at a Brewer game about 2 weeks ago.
Because you go to a lot of Brewer games.
And I do go a lot of Brewer games. And we were sitting in the club level, not a suite people, just the club level. And I walk in and they hear me instructing my granddaughter and her friend as to which way to go. And she goes, I know that voice anywhere. Always wanted to meet you.
You probably get it more than I get it.
I don't know. Your voice is pretty.
I had a weird one. I just told one of my friends this. In a restaurant. I don't know how long ago this was. Lady comes running up. I love you. My wife's sitting next to me, a couple that it's like sort of awkward. I know what she was saying. She loved the show and my presence on the show, but it's just sort of a weird dynamic. Do you ever get the love comment?
I do get the love comment.
Do you?
I do get the love comment, and I'm okay with it because love can be such a broad thing, can't it? But
absolutely.
Yes, I do love travel and I do love talking about it. And I've told people many times, I could sell a bunch of stuff. I'm very good at sales, so I could sell refrigerators.
What else
I
would you
I could sell cars.
I'm not buying a fridge from you.
You could buy a car from me.
I'd
be
see
a
that.
Great car salesman. But I love to sell travel because it's something people are passionate about and they want to talk about. They want to tell you their stories. Do you know what happened to me? I was stuck on the tarmac for 4 hours. And then I just think to myself, oh, darling, I could tell you so much more.
All right, we're going to get to logistics stuff of what you're selling after the break for news, but fun stuff.
Yeah.
The next place you're going is where?
Portugal with Gene Miller.
Oh, yeah. Is that still got seats?
Nah.
Oh, sold out.
Sold out. Mm. May 30th.
So I've not been to Portugal. What would I want to go see there?
Well, you drink wine, don't you? Okay.
Asking an obvious question
exactly.
There, aren't you? I just did a wine trip to Cancun.
Asked and answered.
Yes.
But anyway, yes. So they're known for their fabulous, fabulous wine. But people think of Portugal as an add-on to Spain, and it can absolutely stand alone. And the river, the Douro River, is very unique. So the river cruise companies had to be very strategic about how they built their ships. So.
Is there old stuff for me to touch? There?
Old stuff to touch. Old stuff to touch.
That's like a cliche now. People go, you like touching old stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you created it.
Well,
we got hashtag more Steve. We got I like touching old stuff.
You know what they say that about that? Because you're old.
Oh, is that why?
Old touch is old, I think.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know about that. I don't know that I like to touch old things. I like to see old
things.
What's
the most amazing thing you've seen on one of your trips?
I think probably the first time I ever saw Victoria Falls, I was most
amazed. Oh,
that's amazed.
A big one. That's a name dropper.
Most amazed.
It's the long, highest waterfall in the world?
Well, it's like three times wider than Niagara Falls. And so,
is it better than those blowholes in Central America?
No, nothing's better than the blowholes, Steve.
I remember
I think
that long one.
Punchy. I think you're getting punchy.
I've been up for a long time.
Oh, I can tell.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so we're going to do some fun stuff. We'll tell people how to find it. Well, let's do it now.
All right, so first of all, I never get to come talk when the offices are open. So 866-GO-FOX-GO, you want to talk to somebody
right
now.
That's right.
You can just pick up the phone and talk to somebody and say,
who would be answering the phone?
Anybody that actually it rolls over. So our phone system is so sophisticated that if you are in our area, it will send you to the closest open office. But we also have a very big virtual team with associates in 20-something states.
True story. I've done a bunch of events, did the Oshkosh thing last year. I think I'm doing it again this
you
year.
You are.
I've not met a person at Fox that I don't like.
Oh, that's so sweet.
They're all nice. Yeah. My friend Katie Hawk up there, never met her. Then I met her at the Oshkosh thing. Lovely lady. Awesome. So I'm going to throw it back at you.
Yeah.
Rose Gray, I love you.
I love you.
If Kathy's listening, it's a platonic love.
That's right. She can't be listening. Oh, she hasn't had
she's got no
power
over there. Not till 3 o'clock. Update on that.
How
news
did
story.
You keep your phones charged?
Oh, it's a whole. We got in our cars, took a trip. It's like, oh my God, what a nightmare. Now it's the latest update on my. If you listen to the first half hour, 3 p.m.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm
hang
by
in
the,
there.
By
Kathy.
The way, waiting for that response on my specific questions to. The monolith, We Energies. Love you guys, but... Rose is sticking around for one more second. They wanted to join my Kelsey Morgan. City Forward Collective, always important conversations about education. He's so good, so smart. Just interviewing him on the podcast yesterday. All right, Rose, FWT, why?
If you text FWT to 855-616-1620, you're going to get a little message that's going to say something like, thank you for your interest in Italy. But it's a big joke because you're going to get the whole entire Fox Group vacation catalog.
Including
Julia Fellow's trip.
England.
But also, Steve and I are very responsible for a hub and spoke itinerary that we invented.
Did the heavy lifting. I told you where I wanted to go, Tuscany,
yes,
and then you
yes.
did the rest. And Fox did the rest.
It was amazing. So we originally think we were going to do 7 days in some little Tuscan city, happened to be Montecatini. And then that was going to be it. And then I said, wait a minute, you can't go all that way and not go to Florence and see the David. Mm-hmm. So we did move one time on the trip, but we're doing that trip again. So what you get is if you do FWT and you hit that link, you're going to see Fox Group Vacations. You're going to see exclusive tours and cruises. I do want to point out to the listeners, we also do individual travel, but you and I do like group travel. And
it's a different thing.
It's a different thing. And we talked on Saturday about the fact that it's not for everybody.
Nope.
But once you do it, you may change your mind.
What this Tuscany trip taught me was there are ways to appreciate Italy in a 40-person group, I think it was 45, whatever we had, that are so unique and so worth it, including those farm-to-table dinners that were, they're legendary. And you get to experience some of that stuff. It is, you will not regret booking this trip. Trust me. If you want to go to Italy and experience what it's really like, that's the trip.
So then there's a digital brochure of all the 2027 things. Then there's a little form to fill out. Skip it if you don't want to give us information. However, by filling that out, you are on what we call the insiders list. So when Steve is going to do a big trip, we put it out to the insiders and his past travelers first before we announce it
Heads
on the
up,
air.
It's coming. As what happened last time, we sold out one day.
Like record. Yeah. Record breaking. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we've got all of that on there. So like Romania, Transylvania, and Hungary. Who doesn't want to do something like that? Our good friend Di, from the manager from the Brookfield office, first generation Polish, speaks fluent Polish. Her trip is for May 22nd of 2027. Half sold out already. Yeah,
that's an interesting trip. I've heard good
all
things.
All Poland.
Yeah,
oh,
I've
yes.
heard good things.
Yes,
that
yes,
and
yes.
Croatia too.
100%. And so we do have hidden Europe, Croatia and Slovenia. We've got Julia Fellow with the
not Julia Child.
No, we're not. Julia Child is not taking a trip. Flavors of Tuscany. We've got the Best of Italy that sells out all the time. We also got Best of Southern Italy and Sicily, which is not the same thing at all.
Completely different, but you will enjoy it.
You will enjoy Irish Christmas market. So much to look forward to. Africa, big, big, big Africa.
You're big on
push.
The Africa thing.
We're right now just getting such interest in Africa. And so we want people to do it right. I've been speaking to a lot of financial planners, guest appreciation, customer appreciation events. I think I told you 15 or so years ago when I started doing this, I said to the person who asked me, you do understand I'm going to ask these people to spend their money. He said, you don't get what we do you, Rose? And I said, apparently not. So he explained it to me.
It's the cradle of civilization.
It is the cradle of civilization.
You've been here how many times?
Bunches.
All right, you got 30 seconds.
I say right now you're in luck because I'm on with Steve Scafidi, as exhausted as the old boy is. And you can call us right now at 855.
Only Rose could call me old boy.
Old boy.
Anybody else, I'm cracking on him right now.
855-616-1620-FWT. But 866-GO-FOX-GO. It will get you a human being to talk to, and our website is amazing. Our marketing team is outstanding.
It's been partner hour, but there's a reason, because these are really, really good, classy, smart partners. And I've said it about you a million times. I love doing the travel show with you on Saturday.
Thank you.
And I love the fact that you came in today.
Thank you. I appreciate everything you do for us. And you know what? Yeah, we pay money to WTMJ. It's not a big secret, but you only pick the best partners. You
I say it because I believe it.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
All right. Rose Gray, pleasure.
Thank you.
Twice in 1 week.
Woohoo!
Ooh, could be rumors. Anyway, quick break. Colessa Morgan, City Forward Collective. Smart talk about education in the city of Milwaukee and beyond after this.
It's time for some forward thinking on Point Taken. Brought to you by City Forward Collective, focusing on education in Milwaukee.
We've had a lot of great guests on the program today, and this is also one of those. And we just talked yesterday extensively on our Scafidiology podcast, which will be published next week. Colessa Morgan, City Forward Collective's executive director. Thanks for being here. Thanks for yesterday.
Of course.
You brought a guest, Dr. Howard Fuller. And I do a lot of talking and recording and shows. That 35 minutes or whatever it was some of the best stuff that I've ever talked about. Good stuff.
And look, one of the true gifts of my role is get to spend time learning from, and I don't use the term lightly, heroes and mentors.
Oh, yeah.
So I was really, really grateful to have a chance to spend some time talking with you and him.
Yeah. And so you'll find it next week on our podcast page, Scafidiology, or wherever you get your podcast. Check it out. It's a really great, stimulating conversation. We talk about all kinds of things revolving around the big topic of education. Today we're going to focus on MPS. So sort of give us the benchmark where we're at here, because there's a lot of consternation, budgets, and where are we at?
Yeah, so we have been talking for a long time about financial mess and the district needing to get a sense of where things stand. We finally have that picture, and unsurprisingly, the picture is pretty problematic. The district has overspent, and that's the superintendent's words, not mine, by about $46 million. And so they're having to make adjustments as they go into next year's budget to close that gap. That's creating a lot of friction, right? Because it's going to require a lot of shared sacrifice. And in particular, what's going on right now is a conversation with the teachers union about staff salaries as a setup for really the next act to come, which is the full budget, which we should be seeing in the next week or two here.
Have you been impressed on this specific budget conversation with the new superintendent?
On this specific topic, you know, the jury is not quite in yet, but so far the superintendent has been clear and consistent that we're going to prioritize putting resources into the classroom. I you know, credit where it's due, not just the superintendent, at least so far it seems like the board is standing behind her on this. And that's been something that's been missing in this dynamic for a long time. Honesty about where things stand financially, and then a willingness from both the administration and the elected leadership to make some tough choices.
Going back to our conversation yesterday, which I'm teasing for our release next week, Dr. Fuller made a great point about it's more than just the educational piece. It's the whole thing. And that's part of what we're talking about here when we're trying to fix what ails MPS.
Yes, right. And you know, this is sort of the appetizer. $46 million is a big number. Don't let me run past that. But the main course is still to come. This district is projecting, again, their numbers, a $400 million budget hole over the next 5 years. And while I think on this specific issue and managing this budget conversation, you know, I think we're seeing some bold decision making that's been missing for a long time. We're still not yet really seeing what is the full picture of how we're going to solve that bigger, longer term picture. And while, you know, it's going to require a shared sacrifice, you and I have talked in, you know, in prior segments about the need for right sizing, mm-hmm. the need for some consolidation, the fact that this is a district that has a third fewer students than it did 20 or so years ago.
A lot of buildings,
a lot of old expensive buildings that they're upkeeping. We are still not tackling those longer term financial structural challenges, nor are we tackling what I think are the governance constraints that make it really hard for this district to get to where it needs to be.
Klessen Morgan, City 4 Collective, joining us on Point Taken on 620 WTMJ. Is this an underfunding problem?
No.
Why not?
This is a district that has a $1.6 billion budget, right? We, as taxpayers in Milwaukee, have gone in now twice for $330 million over two referenda. This is a district that is above the median for districts in the state, above the median for districts in the metro area. You know, that had been a story for a very long time. It's just no longer the case. At $1.6 billion, this is not a revenue side problem for MPS. And I think even the superintendent has, you know, spoken towards that. As you get to the facilities and some of the other issues down the line, are there investments that are going to need to be made? Certainly, yes. But within a $1.6 billion budget and after a 30% property tax hike that hasn't even fully wrapped itself in yet, you know, just like every other household, like this is about spending and living within our means, you know, and I think that these are hard conversations that have been long overdue.
We're going to get to the union piece of this because that negotiation is part of the issue here, especially with the words of the superintendent saying we've got a mess here and we have to, you know, rectify that. She's asking for a pushback. They're arguing the other side. We'll get to that with Klessen Morgan, City Forward Collective, working on behalf of Milwaukee students, children, parents, and community. They do great work. And he is a great guest. I always love talking to him twice in 2 days.
Yeah, it's been great.
Lucky me. As tired as I am, awesome. Quick break. City Ford Collective, Klessen Morgan, Executive Director, ensuring a great Milwaukee school for every Milwaukee family, and they do great work, and he's a very smart guy. That's why he's on the show. The Superintendent Brenda Casilius has pushed back, I don't know if it's hard, against the teachers union who wants the pay increases moved up. Is that the right assessment?
Yeah, I think it's been pretty hard, or at least pretty fair. What she is saying is a couple of things. You know, one, at least before this month, we all could agree that one of the challenges that MPS just had too many people in central office, a bloated oversight administration. And so she has said, we're going to move some people, you know, I think it's 150 or 180 in total, out of central office. Many of them have certificates to be educators in classrooms and school buildings. We're going to prioritize having more frontline staff in our school buildings and fewer central office administrators. Makes all the sense in the world, but it's creating a lot of friction. And then the second thing she said is, you know, we need to responsibly get teachers these increases. You know, they're asking for cost of living adjustments. Now, remember, they're already getting steps and lanes, which is inside language for raises that everyone gets for every year of experience.
Right.
They're now, the conversation now is about the cost of living adjustment. And, you know, to be fair and clear, we all know we're feeling the pinch. Inflation is real. She's not saying it's not going to happen, but she's put a couple of different proposals on the table that would phase it in or delay it, allowing the district to save some money while still getting those dollars out.
This question comes up a lot. Is Milwaukee unique? Are we alone in this education mess?
None of these trends that we're talking about are unique. We are not the only city that's experiencing declining enrollment. I think even Madison yesterday was talking about enrollment dropping. You know, this is a, you know, absent a couple of places in the Sun Belt, pretty much everywhere in the country is seeing this. We're just having fewer kids as a country. The challenges around, you know, rising inflation, obviously we're all feeling that, whatever profession you're in. Maybe what's a bit unique about our landscape is that we have kicked so many of these cans so far down the road that we already had a problem even before these current trends really came into place, right? We knew we were spending, you know, 5 years ago, this district had a report saying $60 million too much per year on building space. And so, you know, the bills for the past have come due at the same time that the present's coming due. You know, we charge up the credit card and now we got to pay that off and we got to keep, then we got some expenses that are coming in higher than expected in real time. So maybe it's a little bit more challenging here, but you know, you look at Cleveland, you look at Indianapolis, you look at Detroit. All of these cities are having conversations about how they govern their public school system. What's the right level of funding?
Are they all approaching the right in the same way?
They're not all approaching the same way, but I think all of them are taking necessary actions. Cleveland, you know, we've talked before. Cleveland's in the process of right-sizing by something like, you know, 29 schools or 39 schools across 29 campuses. Indianapolis is doing some groundbreaking work on restructuring its governance structure to ensure that the buildings and the facilities and some of those costs are separated from how they educate kids. Even Detroit, and Detroit, you know, they went through the bankruptcy a decade or so ago, so they cleared some of the long-term debt. But even they are looking at right-sizing because they've got too many schools for this decline enrollment issue. This is not just a Milwaukee challenge.
I could just keep talking. You always illuminate these stories so well, Milwaukee education. Next time, let's look forward.
Yeah.
We're
almost to the end of the school year.
Yeah, so we talked about some of this yesterday on the podcast, which will be available next week. Dr. Howard Fuller and Cleston Morgan, City Forward Collective, thank you so much.
Of course. Thanks, Steve.